You know, I just met a guy. His name is Bickford Bick Penn. I love that name. So I went looking for him online. I found him, but I couldn't find out who he really was. And now I know he is actually Eric Edwards, and he has a PhD in the field of organ transplantation as a biostatistician is his job. He retired in 2017, and he has published a daringly different book. Welcome, Eric Edwards, a.k.a. Bickford Bick Penn.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm going to just read a little bit from the back. The Trouble with Telling is the name of his new book that came out in April from St. Petersburg Press. It's a coming-of-age story about perceptions, misperceptions, and the pain of personal growth. The truth is out there, maybe. Tell us about the book. Tell us about the lead characters.
Okay, the lead character, Johnson Telling. He's a by-the-book guy. He's young. He's in the Army. His grandfather and his father were in the Army. His grandfather raised him. And he's very strict about what he does, and he wants to have a career in the military just like everybody. And he's sailing along pretty well until one day he has some problems that he's never had to face before. He starts getting these randy impulses, seemingly at random. As it turns out, they're not at random, but they really disrupt his life tremendously, and he has no control over them.
So it's a romance?
It's sort of a romance, yes.
And a mystery. What is the mystery?
The mystery is, will they or won't they? He had actually, the female character, Charlie, they met, but they don't remember that they met. He's playing football. His last game, he has his enemy is up against him, and they collide. He has a concussion. He doesn't know that at the time, but he can't remember anything that happened that day. She was drunk off her behind that day because she wanted to pledge a sorority. And they had her doing some wacky stuff, and she said, "This is it. I can't do this anymore." And she sort of passed out, and she didn't remember, but they actually did meet. They met at that on one day.
Well, I guess Charlie gets mixed up with some small-town drug smugglers.
Charlie does. Charlie, they live in a place called Parrish, and it is sort of perishing because the mayor, years before, had closed down the main source of income for everybody, the plant. They had I don't specify exactly what the plant was, but that was the main source of income. He took it over to make drugs. And nobody knows this except top officials. So everybody's in on it, all the city officials.
They're all on the take.
They're all on the take. And people are making a fortune except for people like Charlie who need a job. She needs a job. It started in college. And soon after, her mother was in an accident. She had to go home, leave college, take care of her. Her dad had left years ago. They never knew why. And she's looking for a job, and there's only one place in town, basically, this restaurant that services Camp Conrad, Army veterans, people from the Army. And she gets a job as a waiter there, but it turns out the owner is he's in on it too. So he's buying drugs, selling them, and making a fortune.
Wow. You dreamed of being a writer, and you loved English, and you got good gold star grades. Growing up, what led you to start writing this book? And I think you told me it took you 3 years. So that's a lot of work. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to start writing.
It's kind of wacky, but I'd always wanted to write. I had some very good English teachers. We read great novels. We went into them. I learned a lot about writing from them. And I'd always sort of put that on the back burner. But I love science as well and math. And so when I got my degree in biostatistics, I started working in the field of organ transplantation, and that sort of took over my life for 30 years. I adored it. It was great. I met wonderful people, the smartest people in the world. We collaborated for everybody, for a common cause, getting enough organs for people, and that's still not enough, but we did the best we could. But running that, basically running the transplant system for the country, that our organization did that. But that took off my life, 30 years. And then when we retired, I said, what's my second act? What's my second act?
Quite the second act, by the way.
And one day, this was actually before I retired, I was getting ready for work. And I was listening to the radio. There was a somber piece. It was about a military. Somebody in the military had passed away. They were having a ceremony for him. And the color guard was out there. They were describing what was going on. And don't ask me why. I call it my Arthur moment. I had this thinking, I guess I thought, what would happen if you're in this situation? You're in front of a million people and you suddenly have an uncontrollable sexual desire and you can't control it. That's what happens to the main character. He has this uncontrollable sexual desire that pops up seemingly randomly. And I thought that would be funny. That would be really funny.
It is like the movie Arthur with Dudley Moore. It really is kind of like a wacky premise.
It is a wacky premise. And Arthur even said that he would be sitting in the back of the limo and just he would burst out laughing. And they would say, what is it? He says, sometimes I just think funny things. That's me. Sometimes I just think funny things. And that hit me. And so for the next, I don't know how many years, I went over this story in my mind. I didn't put anything down. I just thought about it. Well, what would happen? I mean, would this be good? So it was in my mind, but nothing had been written down. Nothing. Until, I guess, about 2019 after I retired. And I started writing.
How did it feel to just actually sit down and get back to what you had wanted to do as a youth?
It was great. It was tough, obviously. It's not easy because you stare, in my case, a blank computer screen for a lot of time. You just, okay, well, now what am I going to do now? But what helped me was I was taking a creative writing course at the time, and we had to have something to read every week. So there was that pressure to produce, and I did.
So that helped. And, you know, I asked you earlier, what do you read? And you said biography. You love biography and baseball. But I guess you said that you've also been in, you know, you love Charles Dickens and Hemingway John Steinbeck.
Yeah. Sweet Thursday, John Steinbeck. That was a funny novel. Not well known, but one of my favorites.
I don't know that book.
Yeah, it was funny. I loved it. Hemingway, obviously, very gritty. A lot about war, a lot about death and dying, but somehow I liked it. But the poets, the English poets really spoke to me. Wordsworth just blew me away. Ode on Intimations of Immortality, what though the radiance that was once so bright be now forever taken from our sight? Though nothing can bring back the hour, splendor in the glass, of glory in the flower, we shall grieve not, rather find strength in what remains behind. I mean, I was just blown away when I heard that.
Thank you for that. You know, will you come back and tell? I mean, this is – so I was looking – you know, I looked online and I read some of the excerpts. You have – you are very lyrical with this. For a first-time author, you've got great dialogue. You've got –
probably too much dialogue.
A good plot. But you do have this – it just moves forward. And, you know, I want you to – I'm going to just have you read. I found something earlier that I saw.
Okay.
So I want you to just read this. You love baseball too, so it's kind of interesting. So,
well, baseball and football and football. Basketball.
So, we're at a football game. Read a little bit of this for us because it really paints a picture.
Let's see. You want after
yeah.
here?
Mm-hmm.
When play resumed, each team scored and drew penalties for showboating. Cooper bestowed insults on any opponent within earshot. The rabid taunts were lost on Johnson, but Tyrell declared war. Skirmishes continued until the fourth quarter when Tyrell reached his breaking point. A shoving match ended in a retaliation punch, and he was ejected from the game. With time running out, State had the ball in Tech territory down by 6. Then a sudden downpour turned the field into a patchwork of splattered sludge. The drenched players were unable to gain traction, and the offense stalled. On fourth down, Johnson recovered his own fumble. He tossed a wobbly pass to a wide-open receiver who scored a touchdown. As the last second ticked off the clock, the local townies and barely lucid students went berserk.
And that's what I'm talking about, folks. You know, you've got the gift of gab, and you paint a sweet picture. I understand you're working on a second book. Tell us about that.
Second book is not quite as cheery as this one, but the reason why I chose that was because when I was trying to actually shop around for agents for this book, I looked at what was selling, and it was, like you said, whodunits. And I thought, I don't want to write a whodunit, but I've got to write something else that's a little more. I consider this too wacky. The premise was too wacky. Nobody was going to buy it. I've said this before. When I send out query letters for this, for trying to find agents, I got two responses.
That's one, more than one.
Yeah, that is one. One was no, and the other one was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, hell no. we don't want this. So I said, okay, well, I've got to come up with something a little more standard. So this starts with a hitman. A hitman has a sister, an estranged sister. They haven't spoken in years. And his estranged sister adopts a child. He doesn't know this. Then she dies unexpectedly. So next of kin is the main character. And social services shows up and says, hey, do you realize this, that your sister? And this disrupts his life entirely because he's got a girlfriend. He doesn't have to work that hard. He's got money. And he doesn't want to deal with this, but he does. And that's kind of where it starts.
Love that. So when you're not writing or enjoying the warm weather or baseball or football, you love the Dolly. And I can see a little of that surrealism in this. Tell us a little bit about what you like about Dolly and how that infused your writing.
Dolly was always different to me. The first time I saw anything from Dolly, I was at a meeting in Paris. And there's a Dolly Museum in Paris. And I didn't know anything about him. And I went in, and I was mesmerized. I could not believe what I was seeing. And I told people later, I said, I really feel like he was there. I had this really weird sensation that he was there. So that started the love of Dolly. I was at a meeting in Spain. We were close to Figueres, where there is a Dolly Museum. We drove there, saw that. And then we saw the St. Pete Museum, and I said, we got to live here. I love it.
I love that. So, Eric Edwards, we thank you so much for being here. The Trouble with Telling by his nom de plume, Bickford Bic Pen. We're not going to let you leave without telling us how the heck. Pen, I'm thinking because of pen name, but Bickford?
Bickford, yeah. I have to credit Amy Cianci from St. Pete Press.
Yay, Amy.
She helped me. I think that came out of her. I was going with Bic, and somehow one day it turned into Bickford. But Bic Pen, just as most things do when I'm trying to think about a nom de plume, one day it just popped in my head. What about Bic Pen? Great. It would be the playoff. It's my pen name, quote unquote. So I just thought it would be great.
Thank you so much, folks. You can find his books locally at Tom Below Books and at Book and Bottle. Eric, thank you so much. Can't wait for your next book. I hope it's as surreal as the first, The Trouble with Telling.
Thank you.